Hey, hon, I'm home.
Hey, welcome home. How was shopping?
Went good. How are the kids?
Oh, they were just fine. We invited a few kids from around the neighborhood over, and they've been playing in the backyard.
A few neighborhood kids?
Oh, yeah. The other kids were seeing how much fun our kids were having, and they all wanted in.
Huh. Well, I guess you must have arranged quite the backyard activity then.
Yes, I admit, the whole thing was mostly my idea.
So what is it they're playing?
They're all playing Thunderdome.
Thunderdome? Like Mad Max?
Yep, the kids really like it.
There's a huge metal cage in our backyard.
Yeah, that's the Thunderdome.
I thought you meant pretending to play Thunderdome.
Pretending? Who's going to want to play a pretend Thunderdome? I mean, seriously, talk about boring. I mean, it'd be like if Bartertown was run by Hugh Grant.
You built a real Thunderdome?
Hey, we're ahead of the game. Our tomorrow land is today.
That thing is 15 feet high. Half of the kids are hanging on the sides.
It's so they can see better, duh.
What was that? Sounds like one of the kids was dying.
Actually, that's more like the sound of the other kid winning.
The other kid is hurt.
Oh, it's nothing really. It's just part of the game.
One of the kids out there looks like he's crying and bleeding.
He's fine. It's not like he lost an arm or anything.
Yeah! Ew, she cut off his arm.
Ew. Well, surprise. Sounds like I should have bet on Lindsay on that round, I guess.
What?
Yeah, who says that boys are always stronger than girls, right? I mean, seriously, she's quite the gladiator, I've got to say.
Is that her inside the dome? What the heck is she doing in there?
Completely dominating the round, it sounds like.
Jonathan, she's holding a chainsaw!
Wait, she got to the chainsaw? Wow! I didn't give her enough credit, that's impressive.
She's going after Timmy with it!
Yeah! Yeah!
Oh my gosh!
Oh, I'm telling you, I'll bet some of those kids never saw her coming.
I can't believe this is happening!
I can't believe she got up to where the chainsaw was hanging. I had that locked up at the top, so the only way they could get there was with the elastic straps.
The what?
Yeah, I took some old nylon hose and turned them into elastic harnesses. That's pretty clever, actually. Yeah, that's how the fight started out. She must have cut Timmy's straps down and then went for the chainsaw. So obvious and yet so brilliant.
You have the neighborhood kids in the back fighting to the death.
Kids get hurt all the time. I mean, kids fall off bikes.
Bikes don't cut kids' arms off.
My brother's did when he fell off his bike.
Your brother scraped his arm. Timmy's arm, on the other hand, is over in our flower garden.
Yippee!
Look, the point is they're having fun. It looks brutal, but the kids love it. In that backyard are 12 kids. 11 kids that are having the time of their life, and that's what matters.
Are you insane?
You're calling me insane after the fun that they've been having? Look, okay, watch. Hey, Billy, who run Bartertown?
Uncle Jonathan runs Bartertown.
That's right. See? Yeah, good times. Actually, Timmy's been fighting so well tonight, we actually started calling him Blaster. He can beat most kids with his breath.
Oh my gosh, one of the kids just hit the other kid with a polo mallet.
That's not a polo mallet, that's an iron sledgehammer. We don't use cheap stuff in our Thunderdome.
Yeah, you can do it, yeah!
Oh no, Richie's trying to get out and they're blocking the gate.
That's the rules of Thunderdome. Two men enter, one man leaves.
Yay, go!
Two men enter, one man leaves.
There, see?
Yay, go!
One of the kids has a whistle and is going after Timmy with a mace.
Oh, he had a dog whistle? Crap, I didn't add that. That kid's more clever than I thought.
That's it. I'm not watching these kids do this one moment longer.
Honey, I think you're overreacting.
Kids, it's time to go home.
Man, and I almost had Timmy eviscerated too.
I don't care.
Aw.
Timmy, pick up your arm off the ground and get it out of my rose garden.
No, no, don't yell at Timmy. Look at him. He's just a child. Blaster, I'm sorry.
Jonathan, knock it off. Kids, you all go home and no more Thunderdome ever.
Seriously, I think you're overreacting.
I'm overreacting? You have kids killing each other in our backyard.
Yeah, well, and you know what? They were having fun and you just ruined it. And in the wasteland, they have another rule. Bust a deal and face the wheel.
Bust the deal and face the wheel.
Yay!
Timmy, shut up.
Aw, man.
You want rules of the wasteland? Fine. I just asked you to watch the kids while I was gone, and you created a bloodbath instead. You just pissed off Auntie Entity, my friend, and I'm about to become Lord Humongous on you.
Oh, I understood that.
Kids.
Leave the bad man. Just walk away. None of you will be harmed. Just walk away.
You heard Mrs. Humongous. She sounds reasonable.
Okay, we'll go home. Bye, Uncle Jonathan.
Bye, kids. Hope you all find your own personal Captain Walker.
Woo! Yay!
Oh, yeah. Those are good kids. Look, I know you're upset. Honey, come on, honey. Lift embargo? Come on, huh? Hey, check this. A few days ago, I noticed you had a PTA meeting this coming Friday. You want a babysitter that night? Talk to me. Huh? Honey, put the sledgehammer down. Honey?
Put these handcuffs on now.
Honey, why are you handcuffing me to your car's gas tank?
Here's a hacksaw. You got about 4 minutes before I blow that car up. But you can probably saw through your ankle in about two, Johnny the Boy.
Honey, are you okay? You're calling me Johnny the Boy. You stop scaring me. Stop the toe cutter. Stop cutting the fuel line. Actually, stop. Honey? You're kidding, right? Honey? You're kidding, right? Oh. For the Night Rider!
Everyone, and welcome back to Through the Aftermath. Now, I bet you never thought you would hear me say that again, but here we are. I mean, this is kind of like a catch-up episode. We haven't recorded in months and months and months, but we're sitting here in the wasteland. We have nothing to do. I mean, we're like, we need to get that receiver working again. I mean, am I right?
Oh my God! Are we really on? I thought you were talking to yourself. Ever since we stopped the show, I thought you were like when you're asleep. I hear you talking to the wall. Like we're on. We're really on.
Yeah, I figured I'd press record this time. I mean, you know, just try it out. See what's.
Oh my God! They can hear us.
I think they can. So, we'll see how this goes.
We'll all be doggone. I guess that's get backs for all the times you heard me talking to myself in the mirror, saying, "Stay alive out there. Stay alive out there."
You're like, stay alive out there.
So we did. We stayed alive. Stay alive in there, mirror. Stay alive.
Yeah. So here we are. I mean, we figured we'd do a little catch-up episode. It's been so long. When was the last time we recorded? Wasn't it May or something of last year?
May 30th of 2011. So it's almost been an entire year since then.
So, I mean, we've done a lot of stuff since then. I mean, it's been pretty crazy. We there was always that possibility we could come back and record something, and here we are. I mean, we kind of missed talking about this stuff a little bit. I mean, this doesn't mean we're coming back with the show, so, you know, don't get too excited. We're just doing a catch-up, just doing, you know, one little thing to catch up on you know, what we've been up to, how post-apocalyptic media has blown up in the last, you know, almost year.
No pun intended.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's been a pretty crazy time, and we just wanted to, kind of catch up. And another thing is, you know, we still keep in contact with a lot of you, especially through the Facebook page. And, you know, we'll see people want us to just talk. You know, they want us to get together again and just talk about this stuff. So we're going to do a little bit of catch up here.
Yeah, it should be fun. I don't think we ever really planned on doing this, but we had a lot of people saying, you know, you ought to just do a catch-up episode. And all of a sudden, my head kind of tilted to the side, and I thought, you know, that's not a bad idea. Because, I mean, we've got some stuff in the pipeline that some of you out there already have been listening about and knowing that are coming. And, and I thought, you know, it may not be a bad idea at this point to move forward and talk more about it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
Well, let's start off with kind of catching up on us and what we've been up to. You want to go first?
Yeah. Let's see. So much. It's so funny because, like, in my mind, I'm trying to, like, back up and go, where did we leave off? Well, one thing that's happened is I'm down to one Fallout word a day. Where before, you guys remember, I was at like 12 packs a day. And so like the word Fallout, I usually only say it once. But that's usually because I'm talking in code and I say New Vegas. Or I say the mod, which we'll talk about soon.
Oh, yeah, the mod.
So everybody, I don't know, not that it's better than the game, but let's just say it merges right into it. So, yeah, other than that, you know, just been... Truth be told, it's been all about the mod, and I'm not even kidding when I say that. But other than that, it's trying to get a hold of just about every post-apocalyptic thing I can get my hands on. Fallen Earth, playing that quite a bit a lot lately.
Oh,
so,
oh okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah, it's free to play now.
Yeah, funny enough, I actually still have a subscription. But which is kind of funny, because I'm like, wait, how did that happen? But that's one game where they still keep adding to it, and the stuff they're adding is fun, and I'll be darned if it's still not the great sandbox almighty out there. So
yeah.
But other than that, yeah, just the mod.
Cool. I guess for me, I mean, it's been, oh, man, 2011 has been one of the craziest years I think I've ever had in my life. And that's not even, I mean, that's not even, you know, exaggerating. It's, I literally, if I were to just list, go down the list, when we left in May, the month before that, we had a tornado, and it, like, knocked out, because I think we were joking about that, it, like, knocked out my, the house next door to me, and it literally looked like a wasteland.
Yeah.
You know, my neighborhood. So, I mean, since then, let's see, I've gotten married, we had a kid. We, not only did I survive that one tornado in April, I survived another tornado in June. And then, let's see, bought another house. So now I live on a farm, which I always talked about doing. I know we had that whole episode about that.
Mm-hmm.
I rent out my other house, which is a whole adventure in itself, having tenants and all that stuff.
Oh.
I mean, there's been a lot there that people probably don't care about, like refinancing and stuff like that, but there's a lot of stuff has gone on in 2011, and I think, you know, pertaining to kind of my life, you know, I guess in the biggest parts of it, I would say the focus has been this farm. I mean, it's been amazing. Like, you know, like I said, we had that whole farm episode where I visited that farm and I stayed there for a while, and a lot of that has been something that I've always wanted to do, and I know I received a lot of email after that episode where people were saying, hey, I love that kind of stuff. Like, you know, we talk about post-apocalyptic, we talk about like survivalist mentality a little bit, and that kind of goes hand in hand. So a lot of people wrote in and said, hey, I love that kind of stuff. Like, tell me more. I want to know more about it. Well, I mean, here I am. I'm doing it now. I mean, we have donkeys and goats and chickens and rabbits and geese and dogs and cats, and we have you know, I'm, you know, I've only lived here for, well, it's been 6 months now, actually last week was 6 months, so we've lived in this house for 6 months, but we're not even close to the point where, you know, I can be self-sufficient, anything like that, but it's kind of a goal, you know, down the line, where at least food wise you know, we can make very minimal visits to the grocery store and, you know, do a lot of growing our own food and raising our own food and stuff like that. So it's a learning process, and I anticipate it'll take a couple years to, you know, to kind of get in the swing of things. But right now it's kind of this learning period. You know, I have learned that weasels and raccoons eat chickens. I mean, who'd have thought, right? So
yeah, that, yeah.
So
this is true.
So then I got a dog to protect them. You know, it's like this whole cycle. You know, we have six goats. One of them had babies. We had another one that had babies, and it actually died trying to have the babies. And it was, you know, kind of a learning process there where it was like, you know, how to handle something like that. I mean, it's like it's a continuous thing, but I'm learning more and more, and I love it. I absolutely love it. It's one of the greatest things, and I don't know if you guys are sick of hearing me talk about it yet, but this farm thing has always been something, you know, from a city boy from Chicago. It's strangely enough always been something that I've always wanted to do, and so I'm really getting into it, and I'm excited.
Yeah, well, and you're living the dream. I mean, that's the bottom line. I wish I was doing the same. I'm just north of Vegas, so I'm living the scream. You know, mostly because of the prices of housing here.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, no, but it's great to see. I mean, it's, you know, we oftentimes are, you know, in that certain game that I do not refer to, you know, they have the Republic of Dave. We refer to yours as the Republic of Sean.
That's true.
In fact, we're waiting until we're watching your Twitter feed constantly to see at which point you secede from the Union and create your own country. So
that's, yeah, I should do that.
In which I will defect as well. I'll be like, you will not stop us. We are gone. And then I drive the wrong way. So, wait, we're in California.
You know what's funny, though, too, is a lot of times I'll do stuff, and I'm sure you do this, too, where we'll do stuff, and we'll be like, hey, I would love to talk about that, you know, on Through the Aftermath. It's like, oh, wait, we don't...
All the time.
Do Through the... Yeah, all the time. And, like, we started kind of getting a stock up of food, and I know we've talked about this on the show before, about kind of like the Mormon thing where you get like a 1 year supply of stock up food.
Yes.
And that, and I actually found out, and I you might have told me about this and I don't remember, but I was doing some research and I found out that you can actually buy things from the Mormon website, from the Latter-day Saints website.
Mm-hmm.
Like they have cans, you know, like a vacuum sealed cans of food. And so I bought like the sample pack, and it has like, you know, oats and rice and beans and stuff like that, and it's all vacuum sealed, and it's super cheap. And I bought some of it just to you know, kind of keep, and we're going to start doing that, buying in bulk like that. Like you can buy, you know, a giant 50 pound bag of flour, you know, and 50 pound bag of rice and stuff like that. So we've been doing that a little bit, and I thought it was interesting, and I wanted to, you know, when we first did it, I wanted to tell people about it, that you can actually go to the LDS store and you can buy it right there, and they'll mail it to you.
Yeah, I think they call it like the cannery.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that's one cool thing about living out here is learning all that kind of stuff. And I mean, they're, you know, you could tell they do give this out cheap because they're really just trying to kind of encourage everybody to do it and using it as a resource. So, yeah, which is cool.
Yeah, and I think it's pretty cool. I mean, and then I started looking and I didn't realize this stuff. I mean, I'm such a noob at it, but Amazon, you can buy like a 15-year supply of dried foods on Amazon for like, you know, $6,000 or something crazy like that. Yeah, yeah, you go on there and you can look it up. They have these plastic totes that are full, and then they're sealed and everything, and it's all dried foods and stuff. It's pretty interesting. It'll last, you know, for years and years. But yeah, so I started researching that stuff and finding all this, and I was like, man, it's everywhere. Like, it's, you know, you can go on Costco's website,
even Amazon,
and do that. Yeah, it's crazy.
I'll be doggone. At the bottom, it's like, want it in time for Mother's Day? Click here.
But yeah, I think that's probably all I've been up to as far as that. I mean, you know, gaming. Oh, boy, gaming. I miss gaming.
Yeah, you're having a massively good time, I've heard.
Yeah, it's been crazy. But I like, we were talking about the games that have come out, you know, the post-apocalyptic games, and I'm like, yeah, I don't even know really what's going on. It's kind of crazy. Like, didn't you say, actually, we could probably talk about this. You were saying that there are a couple good post-apocalyptic games coming out, right? Especially like I Am Alive. I know we've talked about that before.
Yeah, I Am Alive just came out. Yeah, because we talked about it before. We didn't know a lot about it.
Yeah.
And it was kind of in the quiet for a while there. And funny enough, the PlayStation Network version of it came out today, in fact.
Oh, okay.
I think Xbox 360, they actually got it, I believe, over a month ago. But I played it a little bit myself, and I'll tell you what, it's an incredible game. You can almost think of it as like survival horror meets Tomb Raider, but it with a resource kind of thing, and with a mix of the story of like The Road, and you could tell it doesn't necessarily try to do anything original, but what it does very well.
Cool.
And $15, and you know, you can't go wrong there. So it's cool to see that one finally come out. I'm like, oh, good, you are alive. I was starting to worry there, game. So.
And then Uncharted too, right?
Yeah, actually, it's the guys who made Uncharted. The company's called Naughty Dog. They actually released the trailer for their next game. And if you've ever played Uncharted, it's about as close to a cinematic experience as you can get. And their next game is actually a game called The Last of Us. They don't really explain a lot, but it almost has the look of I Am Legend. Like there's empty streets, but it's overgrown with vegetation, but there are almost these things that almost look like mutants that are coming out after him. And it's about this guy and this younger girl that he meets, and the two of them working together. And that's really all we know at this point, but it's cool to see, like, if they're working on a game that's going to be like that, I can only imagine what it must be like. Actually, that doesn't make sense, because I would like to imagine it and I can't, because I want it now. That's very, very poor choice of words.
You know, it's funny. It's this could actually go into our next topic here, but there's such a big, like, this whole Kickstarter thing now.
Oh, yes.
You know, everybody is trying to get these old games together. There's, you know, big-name developers who haven't made games in a while are trying to make new games, and they're going through Kickstarter. And the biggest one here is, I mean, someone who we've talked about before, and we've just drooled over, you know, the games that this guy has made, is Brian Fargo.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, Brian Fargo, of course, is the guy who made Interplay, and Interplay made Wasteland, and Fallout, and Fallout 1 and 2. Eventually, but this guy, you know, he kind of started it for, at least for me, you know, I remember playing Wasteland, eighth grade, I think, and just, you know, before and after school, all day at school, I would think about it, and it was just, you know, it's such a huge, huge part of my life at that time, and, it molded me into the gamer that I am now. I mean, I played games before that on the Atari, but that was the one where it was like, wow, this is, you know, the controlling a party like this, and the role-playing, you know, aspect of it was just incredible. The puzzles, all that stuff. So what Brian Fargo's trying to do now, and, well, he's succeeding. He's not trying, but he's setting up this Kickstarter program. And what Kickstarter is, for anyone who doesn't know, is it's basically crowdfunding is what the term is. You get together, you kind of make a proposal, and you say, this is what I want to do, and I have to raise this amount of money. Well, his original amount of money he wanted to raise was $900,000. He reached that, you know, beyond that in the first 24 hours. You have 30 days to raise the money. So right now, I think they're at about $1.9 million.
Yep.
Which is, you know, way, way, way over what he wanted to do. So now he's to the point where he's saying, okay, now that we're at this point, we're going to raise this much money. Let's go ahead and we're going to add this in. We're going to add Mac support, Linux support, and they're actually now talking about bringing in Obsidian to help out, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the freak out here is, for you guys, you probably already know this, but the guys at Obsidian are all his old guys. In fact, you know, anybody from Chris Avellone, who is the main writer, the guy is the other half of the Wasteland games. He's the one who went on to make like Planescape Torment. And yeah, they said if they can reach 2.1 million, they can work it out so that they can bring over some of the guys from Obsidian. And now and I don't know if you caught this, but Obsidian, between the time we last talked and now, they even, you remember how they had just about everybody from the original team except for Tim Kaine? Well, they brought Tim Kaine over.
Oh, really? Oh, man.
So Tim Kaine is now with Obsidian as well. And we don't know what they're working on. We have our hopes, and we sacrifice cats to the demon god daily, hoping for this next game. But once I heard this, I nearly crapped in my pants. Well, I did, but that's another podcast. But like the kicker here is that the nice thing is they're not, because they're doing this funded privately, they don't have any investors breathing down their necks other than us drooling down it. But the cool thing is they don't have they don't have anybody telling them, okay, you have to release this half done game right now.
Yeah.
You know, they have the freedom to do it. It's a little risky because, truth be told, I'm not sure what kind of contract they're being held to, or if they could literally just kind of frack the thing up and then move on. I think there's some kind of contractual thing, but the fact that we've reached this point where AAA titles are starting to let us down. They're starting to not be what we want. They're taking too long. They're promising things they're not coming up with.
Yeah.
And so they're like, you know what? Forget the big name companies. Let's just go right to the guys who want to play them. You guys pay for it. We'll build your game exactly what you want.
Yeah. I mean, this goes, and this is something Brian Fargo has always said, this goes so much further than just Wasteland 2. Like, this is about a redefining of publishing, you know, of maybe not, I mean, Kickstarter isn't just gaming. They have, you know, you go on the main page, they have books, movies, all this stuff that people are funding, crowdfunding for, and it kind of puts the power back in the creative people's hands, and it's so exciting. I mean, this whole thing, like you're saying that it was bringing the original band back together. I mean, they have like Ken St. Andre, Michael Stackpole, you know, these guys. I don't know if you remember the inside cover of Wasteland. They had these guys dressed up like raiders, like out in the desert.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I had Brian Fargo and Ken St. Andre and all those guys. And that's like, they're getting those guys back. And like Alan Pavlish and like those guys. So, I mean, it's really exciting. I don't know what these guys were doing before this. I don't know if it's kind of like, you know, they were wallowing in their money and just, you know, enjoying their...
Yeah.
No, I don't know. But, you know, Brian Fargo comes up and goes, hey, you guys want to get the band back together? And they're like, hell yeah, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just incredible. Here we are. I mean, when that, you know, what's that, like 23, 24 years later?
Oh, yeah.
And they're doing this, and they're able to do this. Now, I have a little story about this I have to tell.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Okay, at GDC, which happened at the beginning of March, I was there. The very first day was kind of a very light day. There were only a couple developers there, and it was, you know, there wasn't the crowds that happened later on. So I'm walking around. I just get there, and I see Brian Fargo. And, I recognize the guy. I'm, you know, kind of a stalker, I guess you could say. No, I mean, I've met him before. I met him at E3 one time a couple years ago. I know I talked about it on the show, and it was just like a, you know, a 2-second thing where I'm like, are you Brian Fargo? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, I love Wasteland. And then he was like, cool, thanks. You know, that was it. Well, now I saw him, and I said, I have to go up and talk to him. You know, I have to say something to him. So he's walking around by himself, and I walk up to him, and I said, hey, you Brian Fargo, right? I said, I'm a big fan. And he looks at my badge, and it says joystick on it. So he's like, oh, you know, joystick, hey, you know, how you doing? And I didn't really want to do more than just say, you know, I am, this is, basically when this happened, he was just announcing that he was going to do the Kickstarter thing. So I said, you know, I literally said, when can I throw some money at you for this Kickstarter thing? You know, I cannot wait to help fund that. And he's like, yeah, it's interesting you say that because, you know, I'm really nervous about it. I don't know how people are going to respond. He announced, like, literally the day before that what's his name? Schaefer.
Tim Schaefer.
Yeah, Tim Schaefer did the Double Fine Productions thing, and that was such a success that he looked at that and said, "This is what I've been waiting 20 years for. Like, this is the thing that I, you know, publishers laugh in my face when I say I want to do Wasteland 2. This is what we need." So he announced that he was going to kind of follow in Tim Schaefer's footsteps and do this Wasteland 2 project. So, you know, I went up to him, and I don't think a lot of people knew about it yet, but you know, I follow him on Facebook, and I follow him, his blog and everything. So I went up to him, and I said, I want to throw some money at you for this Wasteland 2 thing. And he's like, yeah. He brings out his iPad, and he's like, check out this video. He's like, let me know what you think. And he shows me the video that they now have on the Kickstarter page for Wasteland 2.
Is it the one where he's talking to the little kid?
Yeah, yeah. And it's hilarious. Like, I'm cracking
hilarious.
Up. I'm like, this is brilliant. Like, the part where he goes, did you make Angry Birds? And he goes, would I be here now if I effing made Angry Birds? You know, I mean, it's just so hilarious. And and the part where he's like, do you know Baldur's Gate? Do you know Fallout? And the kid's like, no. And then the kid starts picking his nose. And I mean, it's so funny. He's, you know, he's laughing in the face of these publishers, but he's so right. You know what I mean? And so I watched that video, and I said, that is hilarious. I said, what are you going to do with this? And he's like, I don't know. We just kind of put it together, and, you know, we're going to have it kind of as a promotional thing. But then we got to talking a little bit about the fact that, you know, I said, you know, Wasteland was the game for me. I mean, it completely, you know, molded everything. So anyway, we talked for about 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes. I gave him my card. He gave me his. And then later he emails me, and he's like, hey, Sean, I'm really excited about this. I really want to get this going. Let me know if there's anything I can do, you know, on joystick side, whatever. And I said, well, I'm going to do an interview. And he's like, yeah, whatever. I'll do an interview. So I asked the joystick guys, you know, my bosses, and they're like, Brian, who? What? So they really, and it was kind of a shame. Like, they didn't really know anything about him or, you know, who he was.
Oh, they're going to regret that decision about a year from now.
Oh, they did. They already do. They actually apologized to me for not seeing this, but it was funny. Anyway, so they said, no, it's not, you know, it wouldn't fit their thing. So I told Brian, look, I'm sorry, you know, I really want to do this. And I said, you know what, let's do it anyway. I'm going to put it on Massively. And I said, Massively, you know, it's an MMO site, and I know Wasteland 2 is not an MMO, but I need to get this out there. So he's like, yeah, whatever you need to do. So, you know, and kind of technically Massively is still part of Joystick, so it's, you know, it's kind of a finagle there.
Yeah.
So I did the interview with them, got it up on Massively, and the response was great. Everybody loved it. They were all like, yeah, I love Wasteland. Like, you know, I love, you know, Bard's Tale, and I love Baldur's Gate and all that stuff. So, I mean, everybody was really excited about it, and that was really cool. The response was really great. And like I said, Joystick was kind of like, whoops. we didn't see that one coming. But now, you know, it's just blown up, and it's become so big, and it's like I said, it's kind of molding what these publishers, you know, what game publishing is about now. And everybody's going to Kickstarter now. I mean, everybody's trying to kind of redo these old games, you know, through this funding. And I had to throw some money at them. I mean, I don't know if it's appropriate to say how much I gave them, but there are different, like, tiers. And when you donate, you know, a certain amount, you get this kind of rewards, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And the one I did was for $250. I had to do it. And what it is this is just an example of one of them, but you get an autographed copy of the game, collector's edition, autographed by Brian Fargo, Alan Pavlish, Michael Stackpole, Chris Avalon. And then you get two digital download copies, so you don't have to open your box. You get a Desert Ranger Medal of Honor. You get, see what else. I mean, it's like, plus you get everything else before that, which is like posters, a bunch of stuff. But it goes all the way, this is crazy, it goes all the way up to $10,000. And he actually opened it up to more, but originally they were sold out. He had like 10, I think, and then he opened it up to 16. Mm-hmm. But like, when you donate $10,000, they'll literally, you know, you can go to an exclusive private party with them and hang out and like talk about the game. I mean, that's a pretty cool thing. I don't have $10,000, but, you know, it's one of those things.
Well, it shows some people have already done it.
Yeah.
It shows, like, how many, they say, like, the 10,000 or 11 people that have already done it.
Yeah, 11 people have donated $10,000. So, I mean, they're going to have a nice little party there. But, I mean, some of the other things that they have are, like, an in-game statue. They'll name an NPC weapon or location after you. I mean, that kind of stuff is cool. I don't have enough money for that kind of stuff, but that would be, oh man, that would be incredible to like have your name in Wasteland. You know what I mean? Like that.
Oh yeah.
And this game's going to be so huge too.
It's going to be the brilliance of it. And this is where it just dawned on me, the brilliance of it. If you think about it, the guys, all of us who were playing these games growing up, we all went to college or whatever. Now we've got more money. And it's like, what a brilliant idea to cater to the people who are like, oh, here, take my money. I mean, the wives might stare at us and go, that's supposed to be for the kids. And I'm like, the kids don't care. You know, like, here, have this, you know. And so what I actually did was I actually gave Brian Fargo my kids. So I just said, you know, what can I get for them? Just make sure he goes to bed at 8. So,
yeah, no, I actually pointed that out in my interview at the end. I said, back in the old days, you know, we were, you know, 12, 13 years old. We were teenagers and preteens playing this game. And those people, that group of people who were into that game are now grown up and we have our own money and we, you know, we're ready to kind of relive our childhood, you know, and it's such a perfect time for this. So it's very exciting. I'm very excited for all of this.
And he's sticking to the old school way of things. I mean, that's what's cool is he's very upfront. This is not a first-person shooter. We're going top-down just like before. And, I mean, the fact that he's sticking to the old school is the brilliance of it. You can tell that he's – so which means the development time is probably going to be substantially less because he's not trying to build this, like, AAA 3D engine version of it. He just wants to make another Wasteland. And the one thing I am curious about, and there's got to be a story behind this, but originally they didn't have the rights, so he must have – quietly bided his time, waited for that right moment and got the rights back when everything tanked. So
yeah, he did. That's exactly what it was. That's exactly why he made Fallout too. You know, he said that they wanted to make Wasteland 2 back in the 90s and they couldn't. So they're like, you know what, we're gonna make our own game and we're gonna do some lighthearted references, you know, to the old game.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of cross that line, or, you know, almost cross that line of IP violation. and they did it. They made, you know, Fallout 2. And, you know, what's funny is in that video that we were talking about, that I don't know if you remember the part where the guy goes, he goes, what'd you make? And he goes, yeah, I made Fallout 1 and Fallout 2. And he said, I made Fallout. And the guy goes, oh, I love Fallout 3. And he's like, no, I made 1 and 2. And the guy goes, there was a 1 and 2. Like, you know, it's like a whole different genre was the 1 and 2. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting to watch. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, definitely. I'm very, very excited about this. This is huge, huge news. And it almost makes me wish we were still doing this podcast regularly so I could talk about it more. But
I know.
But I wish Brian all the luck in the world. You know, the guy has been my, you know, kind of idol, I guess, in the, you know, in the gaming world for so long, and to kind of interact with him and everything, it's been surreal. But he is just he's back to that mega superstar, you know, level again. I mean, people love this guy again, and it's so great to see because he totally deserves it.
Yeah, Yeah, and he's doing it the right way. He's doing it. What's brilliant is he quietly waited. He waited for the perfect moment. He didn't try to stay in the front land, you know. I just made that word up. I don't even know what front land means. I just like to say for the record that I almost said another word that would have been the word we do not speak of. So, wow, that's embarrassing. Like 1 hour, not even an hour into it, and I'm already inviting words. So, but yeah, it'll be fun to see what he does with it. I can already tell that he's as excited about it as we are, and I love how he was adding those, hey, if we can make it to this much money, it'll be even bigger, and it's going to be the perfect sandbox, and I'm like, oh, it's good. Oh, it's good. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and they're going to make mod tools. Or he says that there's a possibility they will if they go over 3 million.
Oh, my gosh. Like, that would be freaking awesome.
Yes. Yeah. That would be incredible.
Oh, man. Something else to look forward to.
Yeah. You're like, I'm almost done with my Fallout one. Now I have to do another one.
Yeah. Now there'll be another one. It's like, wait, I made a deal. I wouldn't say that the word that started with the F, but I never agreed to I couldn't say this one. Out there, everybody's like, oh, no, now we're going to hear, like, oh, so good.
So I guess, you know, speaking of this mod, we've already hinted at it a few times. Do you want to talk about this? Like, I know you're holding back right now.
Yeah, I am. I've actually been squeezing a bottle of hot sauce, which doesn't make sense either, and I don't know why it's even sitting next to my desk. And I'm not even making that up. I swear to God, I'm really squeezing. What is Louisiana hot sauce doing in my computer room? Huh? Apparently my dogs are eating special food while I'm gone. But that was really random. I didn't even mean for that to happen like that. Anyways, so as someone out there is like, oh my God, I missed the show. So, yeah, it's like, yeah, first up, that was one of the main things we want to talk about because, first up, I probably owe a bit of an apology to the people out there because what has happened is, you know, I have this blog site, and when it comes right down to it, I move very quickly, and when it comes to talking, you know, I can do stuff off the top of my head, but when it comes to writing, I have to kind of slow myself down, and I find myself, when I go to like write something on the blog, I'll look down and go, oh my gosh, it's been like a month. Like, and I'll, as soon as I figure it out, all of a sudden a month passes again. And so one of the things that you guys have not seen is me talking about a lot of the things that are happening. Well, one of the things is looking back on it, some of it's good because a lot of the things I think I would have talked about would have set the stage too early on some of the stuff, but now we're to the point where I can actually talk about it and go, okay, we're good here. So the first thing I'll set to the stage on is the fact that even though you haven't heard anything, the mod, not only is it in full blast, but it's been in full blast literally nonstop every day since we ended the show. And I'm not kidding when I say I went so far as to, you know, I've had to learn the GEC, I've had to do, and I'm doing this, is a one-man show, so I'm doing the scripting, I'm doing all the sound, I'm doing all the textures, I'm doing all, like, a bunch of the models to an extent, and I'm literally putting this all together all by myself, and when I look back at how much is in this mod, I try not to think about it because I get this sick feeling in my stomach because I shouldn't have been able to do this. It's almost like what Notch must have felt like when he finished Minecraft and went, I did that by myself, minus the 28 million he's worth. But what I was going to talk about, and I figured we'd make this a piece of this episode, is just more about what's going to happen in the mod and now that I can actually, you know, release some more details in it. And this is the first time Sean's heard it as well that I'm telling this. So, Sean, if you have any questions as we go here, you know, feel free to break them out.
Okay.
But now correct me if I'm wrong. Like, where did we leave off when we last talked? Where was, and this is minus one other time that Sean and I have talked, but where was the mod at when we talked? Because this has evolved somewhat, and I want to make sure I'm setting the stage correctly on this. Like, what was it as far as storyline? Had I released much about that?
I don't remember. That was, because I remember when we did our voiceover recording.
Yeah, because we did our voiceover recording not too long ago for it.
Yeah, but before that, I don't remember where we were. I remember you were kind of hinting at a few things about the way, you know, it was kind of like the radio station, how you're going to do that. But
good. Okay, so I wasn't drunk, so I'm glad I didn't say something stupid. here's what it is.
You may have been drunk.
I may have been drunk, which was what came out. It was probably, because I said something about not wearing pants, and that really happened. So where we're at on this mod is, and those of you who have been watching my blog or watching the Twitter, you're catching pieces here and there, but the short version of it is that the mod is actually two halves now. I think when the original idea was that there was going to be this little quest that made it so that you could have this radio station, and the idea was the radio station was going to be able to play past through the Aftermath episodes on the actual Pip-Boy while you're running around the wasteland. Well, what started out as a simple idea actually exploded into a mod that in my mind, seriously, looks way bigger than most of the DLC I've ever seen them release. Like, this is staggering when I stop to think about how much I put into this, because it's essentially two mods in one. And the radio station mod, just to set the stage there, because of the way we figured out how the GEC works and how it's able to create the stuff on the fly and make it work, and even as far as how we're able to make it work based on what you're doing in Fallout New Vegas, we actually evolved it more. And I have it where there is seriously like a psychotic amount of brand new material that's there. So you're not only hearing replays of past episodes, you're hearing us as if we're telling you stuff that's happening in the game at the time. And the episodes are stuff we're just playing for you for fun. And so you'll hear commercials, you'll hear, and Sean and I recorded this for about 3 hours the last time we talked. And so you'll have places where Sean and I, when you first turn on the radio, we're talking about things, or if you do something in the wasteland, you'll hear us referred to it. And we tried to hit on just about every news point that comes up at some point in the game. And then there's a lot of randomness of just, you know, silliness of us back and forth. Now, I wish I could say that it's going to be purely on the fly, you know, that you won't hear the same thing twice down the line somewhere. You know, you're 100 hours in the game, you're probably going to hear the same thing twice somewhere. But we put so much into this radio station, it makes Radio New Vegas look like a joke, because honestly, now that I understand how they did it, I almost am looking at that going, was that the intern? Because you guys, that's how you did it, really? Not to bag on it, because that was just an element of their gigantic game, but what we're doing is almost like freakish as far as how dynamic it is, and the fact that you're listening to stuff that, you know, the mod is meant to sound like Sean and I really are doing what we're doing now and talking to you from the wasteland. And the fact that you'll be able to walk around and not only hear us talking to you, and it's funny, you'll actually hear us referring to you, the courier out there, and talking about like things that are happening, like that couldn't possibly be the courier, could it? You know, like, what is this guy, Forrest Gump? You know, is he everywhere? Yeah. So there's a lot of humor to it, a lot of like little, you know, you'll hear old episodes. They'll even have like little skits here and there. And that's just the radio station part. Now, and you haven't heard anything about the quest side of it, have you?
No.
Okay, good. So now the quest side was intended to be just sort of a short mini mission, that the idea was that, you know, you guys get this radio broadcast that's asking for help. And it's actually those of you who know Megaton, and he has the post-apocalyptic forums. He's very well known out there in the post-apocalyptic world. He's pretty much holding the glue, holding everything together. He actually, you get a message from him saying that something happened at our radio bunker. And so you'll finally get to see the radio bunker Sean and I are at. And I think I touched on it just a tad, but the idea was that you get there and something has happened to me and Sean. And the whole concept of the original quest was that you have to track down these raiders that took me and Sean captive and have to find out why they did it. And meanwhile, you have to help us escape and everything else. Well, what started out as supposed to be a mini mission actually grew into something almost insane, because it went from being like a little mini mission to actually being a completely different landscape. And so you're actually, this is the first time I'm actually releasing this, but you're actually in where, you know, you spend most of the time around Vegas area, the Mojave. This actually takes place further west on the way to Los Angeles. You're actually in Barstow, California. And the idea is you're actually in a couple places on the way too, but every single one of these areas is done by hand completely by me from scratch. And so we're not talking like a little running around a dungeon for 2 seconds. We're talking you walk into a brand new area that's part of the story. And so you're going to actually, every single piece there is almost all detailed by me. I've done like literally all the posters on the wall, all the signs, all the grocery store stuff, everything. I went back and actually took this insane amount of time to add a crazy amount of detail because the fun is in the details. You know, we like seeing stuff that's, you know, goes that far. I mean, you remember how playing Fallout, you'd see stuff on the wall and you'd be like, oh, that's hilarious. You know, you'd see a poster and it'd make you laugh, you know?
Yeah.
But those of you who've listened to our show, you'll really enjoy it because you'll see jokes right and left. Like, for example, there's one of the magazines you can pick up now is a magazine that's basically talking about it, living off the grid. And the name of the magazine, it talks about Sean buying, like, Sean buys the farm. And then the crowd is freaking out because they think you died. So, but it's got actually a picture of your real farm on the magazine. And so, but the hilarity of it is, so you actually meet Sean and I, you also meet Brent from Virgin Worlds and Darren from Virgin Worlds who hosted the podcast, Shut Up, We're Talking. So the four of us, and Megaton is in it as well. You'll actually meet the four of us and we actually go with you through this whole adventure of trying to figure out what happened and why these raiders were hired to kidnap us, because you'll find out they kidnapped you, but it wasn't them who had the idea to do it. They're just, you know, there to do their job. The kicker is that this game has a ton of dialogue because my goal in the end of it was to immerse the players, all, especially the fans of our show, into an intro, basically. So in a way, this game is the final intro because much like our intros, there is a funny humor to everything. And in fact, as you go on, you'll realize more and more of the humor of what's really happening. Even the dialogue back and forth that we say to each other is hilarious. I mean, it's, you know, very much like you're listening to an intro and taking part, right down to the fact that people are asking me in the game, what happens next? I don't remember. This is the part I textured first, you know, so my in-game character is actually freaking because he can't remember how I wrote it, you know? So, but you actually get to see Sean in the game and me in the game, and I've done my best to make us look as close to the real life us as possible, and it has our voices and a crazy amount of dialogue. And Sean hasn't seen all of this yet. He's actually, we're about to record the dialogue for his actual character. So Sean will actually get to see a lot of this very soon. But what do you think so far? How does it sound so far?
I can't wait. I mean, especially, like, I know what we recorded, you know, a couple months ago. It was kind of like all this, you know, recording at once. And, and it doesn't really let me know how it's going to be used, like the context of it. So I'm really curious to see it all together. And like you showed me, the picture of me in the game, and then like it said Sean, and it had like the picture of me. And like it might sound silly, but that was so cool. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Like I was like, hey, that's me in Fallout New Vegas. You know what I mean? It's just, it's crazy. So I'm so excited. And the way you say that, it's so, you know, it's like a DLC almost, or I guess bigger. I mean, I can't wait. I played it. I beat it on the 360, but I actually bought the game again for the PC just for this mod because I cannot wait for it.
Well, and I felt that pressure too because, you know, everybody out there wants to see this, and I'm very dedicated when it comes to something like this. I'm not somebody who down the line is going to be like, hey, real life came up and sorry, guys. Like, I'm obsessed with finishing this, like literally obsessed, because this is not only like my homage to the Fallout world in a way, but I like to think of it as sort of my saying goodbye when we finish the show. You know what I mean? It's almost like, hey, now you don't have to say goodbye because you can have us with you in the game, even as companions in the game. We'll run around with you and you'll hear us joking around and saying stuff back and forth like in the game, and you'll see our bunker, and hey, the show doesn't have to be done. We'll just keep going in the game, you know? And so I wanted to make sure you didn't just get this half mod. It was like, okay, if you're going to have fun with this, let's make it a full skit. I hope the dialogue doesn't annoy, because I don't think it will. There's a lot of dialogue back and forth, but I've tried to splice it up a little bit so you've got a lot of dialogue boxes, but then it'll cut to two guys talking to each other and joking around, and some guy says something over here, and then something over here happens, and, you know, and the interaction with the raiders is hysterical, because just the fact that the raider leader is this guy who does not look like he should be, and I'm giving you guys some sneak peeks here, and I won't be a spoiler here, but let's just say the raider leader is a guy who very obviously shouldn't be leading these guys, and you can't quite figure out why he is, because he has these elements to him where he wants to go kill and maim, but when he's done, he wants to come back and play Scrabble or he wants to play Twister after they're done, you know, ravaging this house, you know, and everybody's like kind of not sure about him, and they're scratching their head like, we're not really sure this guy should be in charge, and nobody can actually figure out why he is in charge, and he's oblivious, you know, he's just like, kill them all, then we'll drink tea, you know, he just has no idea what's going on, and that's, you actually end up, your character ends up going there to basically break us out, and that's what breaks off into the main part of the story. And when you see Barstow, I'm crossing my fingers on this because making a complete world in Fallout is the undertaking is like frightening. And I've gone the extra mile to really give it this flavor that you've never seen. Let's just say Barstow. I've even given it a backstory because, you know, I wanted it to tie into Fallout, not just be a mod. Hey, let's run around the cookie cutter art you've already seen, but I'll put this in a different place. And that's our world. You know, I didn't want to do that. I wanted it to be, this is all new. And I wanted you to come up over the hill and go, that's something we've never seen before. And this area of Barstow is actually, I tie it into the story, is because of what Barstow is. I mean, Barstow is very much, in real life, the midway point between Las Vegas and Los Angeles. And so Barstow is where everybody stops over. And so that you cut that place off and you have a problem. And you can tell that that would have been a tactical place. But also because the Marine Corps Training Center and one of the deep space complexes is up there, too. And so you have all this reason for that being the military target. Well, this city got directly tagged. And so let's just say there's an element of, like, you've seen what happened to DC, but let's say that it went a step further. What if you were to imagine this, like, Silent Hill hell world where everything just went upside down because of the bombs fell directly there? You're going to be in the middle of it. And I think, like, in Darren, you know, every one of us acts like we would act in real life. And so Sean is very much the, you know, very logical, trying to lead. My character is completely like laughing at half of what's going on and making just, everything's just funny and for some reason. And then Darren is actually the type where, if you've ever heard Shut Up, We're Talking, he's just happy all the time. He's the happy Canadian guy. And so we could be, he's in the middle of being a, you know, Raiders got guns to our heads and he's just like, hey guys, how are you? I mean, he's just glad to be here, you know? And then with Brent, who's very, you know, who's very nice, but like if you hear his voice, he's got a very deep voice and he's very serious, you know. And in this game, he actually plays it off where he's basically just pissed the entire time. Like, he's mad at the Raiders. What are we doing this for? This is stupid. I wasn't even supposed to be part of this. And it plays right into it. And it works so well, especially the back and forth as you go through the game. You know, the fact that we react to things and the things that we'll say to each other and, you know, hey, we need to split up into groups. Well, why would we do that? Because for some reason, the pathing might not work and we have to make it so that the guy can run around solo for a while or else the game's going to suck. I mean, you know, there's a lot of that back and forth talk going on. But you'll see some stuff coming out now. One of the things I'm going to do, and I've been planning this for a while, is you'll probably see, like, I'm going to release on my blog a couple of making of where each one I'm going to focus on a different part because I want to show you guys what I've been up to, and I want to finally be able to, I'm to the point where I can show you. And so, You know, I'll talk about the detail, and I'll talk about some Easter eggs in there in the game. Like, and some of it that I've done, I'm almost banging my head against the wall going, I can't believe I did that. Like, I've actually gone as far as creating literally newspapers that sit on the table. If you look close, you can read them. Everything's legit.
Oh, cool.
And if you read real close, you'll get jokes that are hidden in there to see if you're really watching and reading. Like, if you're the one who reads it, you'll actually get complimented for, oh my God, you're really reading this, you know. But we've got homages to things that we've talked about in the show, things that were in skits. You know, if you've listened to our show all the time, you're going to just eat this up because we've thrown jokes in there right and left. And the other thing too is I've even won as far as trying to replicate a lot of the things you would have seen that time period, because like the idea of this city is Barstow, knowing that it was going to be a target, was very heavy on the idea of civil defense at the time. And so what I've done is actually gone back and remade a lot of the original civil defense posters with a twist, with, you know, so it wouldn't be the direct poster. It was like a little variation. And so you're actually going to civil defense shelters and you're actually seeing how much into that whole thing the city was, but also how caught off guard that they were when it happened. And so you're actually going to get a lot of backstory that ties directly into the Fallout lore that you didn't ever get. And before it was just going to be like, oh, we're going to run around and go save Sean. And now it's like, okay, if we're going to do this, let's do this right. And so I tied it so you actually will get tie-ins with previous Fallout games, because I actually planned it that way where you were able to, you know, you'll hear us reference something that happened from before in Fallout 2. If you ever played it, or Fallout 1, you'll hear it talked about, and even Wasteland to an extent. So, yeah. There's a lot in the pipeline, so I just wanted to make sure you guys were knowing that, you know, the silence did not mean anything had stalled. In fact, it's been the opposite. I think it's become an obsession to the point where I'm dreaming in textures. So,
well, it's a good thing you gave your kids to Brian Fargo, because then you don't have to worry about, you know, feeding them and stuff like that, right?
It's true. He will probably take better care of them than I did. And, you know, and it's funny because my kids, whenever they would try to talk to me, I saw dialogue boxes and I would always select goodbye. And so my kids weren't sure how to take that, which I took as a threat, and he usually tried to pull weapons. But yeah, which I aggroed pretty much the entire house, which I expected because it's faction based, you know. So
yeah,
I'm so geeked to see what you guys think. And the one thing I'm scared about, because the one thing that is frightening is I'm trying to do some things in the GEC that have honestly never been done. And I think the reason is just because of the effort. But I mean, if you think about it, you really didn't see a ton of dialogue in Fallout. I mean, they were story placers and stuff where, you know, you would talk back and forth to guys. But for the most part, there wasn't a large scale back and forth going on for most of it. And in this one, not only is it large scale, but you have things where this guy's referring to something that's happening out there. Like, you know, for example, like you might hear something in the distance, like there'd be a part when, you know, Darren might say something like, you know, this place doesn't look so bad. And all the, or somebody says something like, it could be worse. And then you hear something in the distance explode. And then somebody goes, it's worse. And then like later in the game, you even hear me refer to the fact that, hey, wait a second, I've made like 3 Star Wars references and nobody's getting the joke here. And, you know, and I'm actually getting pissed because nobody's getting the Star Wars. Like, I'm proud of myself. Hey, did you see what I did there? I did Star Wars jokes in this, you know, but it's got a little bit of everything, you know, a little bit of exploration. I've made the world very open-ended, but I've also thrown a little bit of action scenes. Like there's even one sequence where if you've ever played, did you play Fallout or Half-Life 2?
Yeah.
Did you ever play the sequence where you had to defend that area against the ant lions coming up out of the ground?
I must not have gotten that far.
It was episode 2, I believe. But yeah, I've kind of paid homage to that in its own form where we're making this gigantic standoff against these things that might happen to be in Barstow. So, but there's jokes galore right down to the fact that I will refer to something by a name I just make up. And then when you go look at it, it actually has the made up name as the name of it, complete with me stuttering the name. So it would say something like, oh, that thing looks like the grenade thing. And then you walk up and it's like that grenade thing. And so, you know, there's a lot of, like, humor that we've thrown in for fun. Sean actually is, I'm curious to see what Sean thinks, because there's a lot of humor for Sean that he will get right away. I mean, right down to even, like, homages to, you know, I'm very good friends with a lot of the people that Sean's works with it massively. And Karen, who does their, you know, EverQuest sections, she's always talked about this character in EverQuest called the Billy Doll that's just this horrific looking thing out of like Silent Hill. And I actually, there's even homages to there where you look on the table and it's like, Why I Hate the Billy Doll by Karen Bryan. I mean, it's just like right there. I mean, it's just like stuff on the table. I wanted you to be able to look at it and go, that's hilarious, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a taste.
Wow. That sounds, yeah, I'm so excited for this. Like, I literally... It seems like it's your life's work now. I mean, it's like, you know...
It really is. It's a culmination of all of it put together.
Yeah. Oh, man, this is going
to
be great.
Yeah, right down to intro and everything. I mean, right down to, you know, how in the beginning of the games and the DLC, they always do that thing where it fades up like it's a slideshow, like war never changes, you know? It even has the slideshow.
Wow.
And it even has an ending, too, where we actually explain what happens to us after the game. And, of course, the game keeps going because we want you to go around the world still listening to our show and doing all the things in the world. The one thing that's going to be tricky is just making sure that it flows well. And so some of it is all based on faith, like, oh, my God, there's all these pieces I'm holding up, and I really haven't seen them all in one gigantic mesh yet. Everything's working so far that I'm, you know, we'll probably be beta testing it pretty quickly here. So
cool.
I think I had mentioned originally Easter was the goal, and we're almost to Easter now, but the good thing is, okay, I didn't quite make the goal, but we're very close, because what I'm doing is, you know, just making sure it's all looking good and finishing up some pieces of it. I won't use the word polish, because that people get scared and think I'm going to delay it for another year, but you know, I'm being very diligent, I'll say it that way.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, that's exciting. I mean, that's kind of the main, you know, that was kind of our main thing for this episode, too. You know, not only catching up with you know, little side projects, but that huge thing that you've been working on. So it's very exciting. I'm really excited about this.
Yeah, Sean, you're going to laugh the first time you see yourself talking. And this sounds funny because me and Sean are talking about this. But like the first time I actually saw myself talking, and I went as far as adding lip sync and everything.
Oh,
yeah. Once you see yourself talking, you're just going to bust out laughing because you're just going to be like, oh my gosh, that's me in the game. I mean, and just the fact that the names of the quests are even homages to things we've done in the show and things we would say and, you know, stuff like that. And I won't even go into it because I want all of it as much as possible to be a surprise. Like the stuff in the making of, I will show stuff. In fact, there's a teaser trailer coming pretty soon here. So I've even gone as far as making a teaser for it, and I've just got to finish it up. Then I do have an actual trailer that's going to come out when it's ready. So yeah, you're going to love it. It's just, I'm scared to death to see what everybody thinks, but you know, it'll be a hoot, because I think anybody who's listened to our show, even if you haven't played Fallout or wouldn't play a game like this, I encourage you to get the game just for this, because if you liked our show, I think you'd find it fun. I mean, we've tried to pay homage to just about everything we've ever said in the show, right down to even the jokes and, you know, the skits and the way that we'd play it out, and things you'd see on the wall will be like, oh, I remember that, you know, and stuff you would see on the posters that might be in our room or something. Like, if Sean had lived in a bunker, what would he have on the wall? And then you're like, oh, that's what he has. So you're, you know, I even added that Sean actually threw me a joke poster here from Mad Max a while back that is actually on the wall. So yeah, it's so funny, the stuff that I've added. I've put homages to everything in there. So
sweet. So are you going to have this on like Fallout Nexus, you know, some kind of mod site?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, that's definitely the place where you're going to want to get it. I'll probably have it available more than one place, but oh my God, it sounds like my shelf just tried to kill itself. But the kicker is going to be, I'm a little nervous as to how big this is going to be, because I'm going to warn everybody, because of the amount of dialogue and radio, and I've managed to crunch it down a little bit, it's going to be a pretty big mod. And but then again, I look on there and I see texture packs for like Skyrim and Fallout that are 2 gigs, so I guess this won't even be that bad. So, but the Nexus site is the idea. I'm trying to, part of what's taking so long is I'm trying to make it as clean as can be, so that a lot of the crashes you ever experience in games whenever you have mods are because whoever made the mod probably did a crappy job of putting it together without it clashing. And I've gone the extra mile to make sure that isn't the case. Another thing too is when you're on the Nexus sites, you're not allowed to necessarily take from Fallout 3 unless it's already in there somewhere in Fallout New Vegas. And they have done that. You know, they've brought a lot of stuff over. But I can't say go back and grab something from Fallout 3 and go place it into Fallout New Vegas. That's a no-no, because that's a copyright thing.
Okay.
I've tried to avoid that. What I have done is gone around it and, you know, added my own stuff by hand. And then there's, of course, people out there that are wonderfully talented who've added pieces to use that I've, like, resources to make use of. And I've taken it and gone and done my own thing with it, because I'm fortunate to be able to program and do art. I think that's rare, I guess. I've been told that anyway. I'm a master of none, but I apparently do okay with both sides of that, so... this will be the most wonderful, insane mod that that is half-assed. No, I'm just kidding. I'm very excited to see what you guys think. And do, you know, watch the blog, because I'm going to be popping the first one out here pretty quick and talking about, like, the details that I put into it. You know, as we get closer, I'll talk more about that, the world I built.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm curious to see. So, I'll be throwing Sean here the an updated screenshot. In fact, you know what? I'm going to throw this to you while we're recording here, because I want to hear your reaction. Have you seen an updated screenshot since that one I sent you?
No, uh-uh.
Okay, I'm going to send this to you. I'm sending this to Sean live here.
Live.
Yeah, it's funny because this is actually a screenshot of the four of us, and as it stands right now, and I'm curious to see, because you've seen Brent, you know what Brent looks like. You've seen Darren, yeah. So you know what Darren looks like. And I'm curious to see if you pick up on this immediately, that who everybody is, other than the fact that we look completely different, so I guess that's the giveaway. But yeah, and I sent this to Darren and Brent, and it was so funny because Darren and Brent were like, so which one is which? And I just started laughing, like, what are you guys, crazy? You guys, look at you guys. Like, it's kind of hard to miss, guys, you know? And that... The one thing that's tricky is, I will say this, it's psychotically hard to replicate a person in the GEC kit, because there's bugs in the game that'll crash depending how you use the GEC, and there's, I mean, you've seen enough variations in the faces, but they're alike enough that you can tell it's tricky, you know what I mean? And Sean will notice that I actually had this version of Sean that was at the very beginning, just to kind of get the test bed. And it was funny because it actually, the moment I took the screenshot, he actually looked like he was like evil, which was kind of amusing. But yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. Let me see if I can. Okay. The guy with the beard is me.
Mm-hmm.
That's hilarious. The guy all the way on the left there. The middle.
That's kind of a giveaway because it's got my name.
That's you. Yeah, that's you, the glasses. Okay, so on the other side, it's Darren and then Brent?
Yep. Yeah, because Brent does have, like, kind of like a little bit of a beard. Now, and that's the sad thing is they don't give me a lot of options for that, but you'll notice Darren has this, like, sort of perpetual happy smile, and it does look like Darren, funny enough. It really does.
Yeah, that's what I was like. That one looks like Darren, but then I was like, the other one doesn't really look like Brent, but You know, if I were to pick which one was which, definitely there's Darren right there.
And I'll probably tweak Brent's character just a little bit to make it look more like him. Sean was kind enough to give me a front and side view of himself so I could kind of replicate.
All you have to do is throw the beard on there. That gives it right there. So, like, how hard is it? I imagine that there's a lot. Is there more tweaking available in the GEC than when you build a character in the game? Or
yes, absolutely, okay. There is. And that's the kicker, is that when you've got the GEC going, and this is the tricky part, because the thing with the GEC that makes you want to bang your head against the wall is a lot of the bugs in the GEC are due to the fact that they had to pull out a lot of face gen stuff because it was a copyright thing. And so what you can mess with, if you don't know what to watch for, you can actually halfway through making your character crash the GEC. And so I had that going for it, plus a limited amount of hair and face and all that. But when it comes to the actual face itself, you have like probably about 30 different sliders with about 100 or so variations. And so you can get pretty crazy with it. But the problem, again, with the GEC is what you're seeing in real time on the GEC window doesn't always match up with what you're going to see in the final, because the GEC actually has a screw up in it where it will accidentally show you a stock version of that character, and then you'll jump in the game and you'll go, wait, that's not what I made, you know? So you almost have to learn where that limitation is and then go back and go, okay, if that's like this, then I need to do it like this. And then all of a sudden I kind of get this version in the game that looks better.
Oh, I see.
So it's really tricky though. But much like Sean, it's funny, our character is much like Sean is the melee character. Sean's wearing pneumatic fists because Sean's the melee character when he plays Fallout. And I'm always the sniper, so I'm the sniper guy. And so, and we play into that. Like Sean, you know, when you're running around with Sean as a companion, you'll hear him yelling stuff and like punching the guy. And then you'll hear me laughing at things and heckling the guy we're shooting at. And then like when I kill him, making laughing at him as well. And, you know, right down to even if we get poisoned or shot, you know, you'll hear us like, ah, you know. Yeah. But I haven't gone as far as making us die, because, I mean, with a companion character, you know, it would sort of screw up the fun of it. So, I mean, we do eventually get back up, but, you know, it's meant to be more of a fun thing than it is to be like a game breaker. But as you can see, we're in a jail cell. Oh, hint, hint, you know.
Man, that really does look like you. Like, I'm looking at him, I'm like, that really looks just like you. It's funny.
I'm actually tempted to see, with your permission, Sean, I'm actually tempted maybe down the line of one of our making ofs to show what we would look like in real life versus what we look like in the game and kind of give like a little tidbit of like making the characters or something.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. I can't wait to, it's going to be so much, it's, like you said, it's going to be crazy just to like hear myself talking.
There's a lot of back and forth interaction. So forgive me if you're playing this game and you get a lot of camera freeze, look at this guy, look at this guy. I'm not trying to, definitely not trying to slow the action down, but it is, it's a skit. So you're going to have action and then skit and then some more skit and then action again. But the action sequence are going to be hoot, because even the creatures, people, everything else, they're all done by hand. So there's a lot of ambience. There's a lot of new stuff. I've taken a lot of their own material and added some of my own. And there's the ending. I'm curious to see what you guys think about the end sequence, the whole idea of why we got kidnapped. And I will give you a hint, because I think I did mention this. Let's just say that if you guys remember in our show, our forums got hacked twice.
Yeah.
And this will answer why that happened. You will find out who hacked us and why they did.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's going to be fun. I just had to give you guys a tidbit. I hope I didn't dominate this whole show. Like, I didn't mean for this to, like, be like, and then, I feel like I was showing you slides of my trip to Brazil or something. I don't know. Like, here's me with the waiter. I'm like, what is that? You know? I don't know. Ever since my kids disappeared, I haven't been the same. I don't know.
Oh, man. All right. Well, I think that's probably about it for this catch-up show. I want to thank everyone for listening. And if you want to keep, you know, kind of keep in touch and keep track of Jonathan and I, we have our blogs that we do. And they're actually both linked in the last episode that we did back in May. What was that? 46, I think, something like that.
Yeah, 46, I believe.
Yeah. So, I mean, we have links to our blogs there. Kind of farm blog, which I, you know, kind of regularly update, and Jonathan's blog about the mod and everything and what he's been doing. So, I mean, check those out. We also have our Twitter, which is also linked on that site. I mean, if you go to blogspot.com. That's where everything is. I mean, that's where you can see where, you know, the Twitter catch-ups, the blogs, everything. We also have the Facebook page. If you do a search for Through the Aftermath on Facebook, we have a group, and actually, you know, it's been pretty, I mean, people have been talking on there, and it's been pretty active lately. People sometimes will throw up, like, you know, if there's a new movie, some kind of tie-in with some kind of post-apocalyptic media, someone will throw something up there, and there will be a little bit of discussion. So, and that's actually where we started talking about doing this show here, you know, this catch-up show, too. It was on that Facebook page. So yeah, check that out. Twitter, you could always, I still have ttaftermath@gmail.com. I still have that email if you guys ever want to reach out. And I think that's about it. Did I miss anything?
No, you're exactly right. I mean, it's you know, keep watching on that. Now, one thing I will say is you may not necessarily hear from Sean and I, but we're actually constantly watching. So even if, you know, if you're posting on Facebook, you may not hear us right away if you're asking questions. Like, I try to keep up on that, but a lot of it's because I can usually see it, but I can't always get where I can respond quick because, you know, the way our schedules are kind of working. But keep posting because we are watching. I mean, even if you know, it doesn't look like we are. And it's funny because I always feel bad because my blog site is, you know, it's like, it's not even a real blog site. It's more of a blip site, you know, like the OG hasn't been earned yet, I guess. But, and again, that's just been because I've been so deliberately dedicated to this mod, and you're going to start seeing things pour out along with some of the emergency preparedness things that I've been doing in real life that I keep promising that I'll show. But it's funny because every time I get ready to show what I've learned at some of these things I've been doing, it evolves into something cooler. And I'm like, crap, do I release this now or do I wait until the cooler part happens and put them together? And I probably just need to be better at writing. So I'll earn that OG back, yo. So, yeah.
All right. So I guess that's it from us. Thanks again, everyone, for listening and for all the support and everything. And who knows? Maybe we'll do this again in, like, a year.
Yeah. Yeah, you never know. It's good to get back every once in a while and remind each other we're not dead. So, yeah, it's at least we stayed alive out there like we promised.
Stay alive out there.
Oh, yeah. Stay alive out there still. Continue to stay alive in there. What happens if they die in the game? Do they stay alive, like reload out there? I mean, stay safe gamed out there, Steve. I just trail off like
it's like that's just.
It could be stay alive through there. Yes, stay through the aftermath. We're past that, so we're past through aftermath.
Through the aftermath.
We're not through, though. We're through it. That's so messed up. I can't believe I'm still going. Anyways.